Hey guys, today we have another awesome episode of The Burr Show. I'm your co-host, Chad Gallagher, joined with Joel Kraut of Burr Loans. Buy, rehab, rent, refi, repeat. Meet the inspiring people using Burr to create wealth and their tactics so you can too. Let's do it. All right, what is up, guys? The Burr Podcast, Real Estate Hackers Burr Podcast coming at you today. Man, I hope you're excited. We have a guest that you are going to absolutely love, Anthony Goodwin. This guy is an absolute stud, the workout landlord. The guy is maybe the most inspirational person I've ever had on the show. You have to listen to the episode. We just got done. It was incredible. The guy is inspirational. He's fascinating. I'm so excited to hear you. Based out of Philadelphia, let's get to it. Joel says you're the man and have a crazy background.
Yeah.
He says you didn't exactly grow up in a real estate investor mogul household.
No, I definitely didn't. No, I didn't. Yeah, I've been through a lot. I would say I'm on my second life right now. I've been through the ringer. I've been in jail before. I grew up, like, I didn't grow up with any type of money. I didn't grow up into, like, my mindset wasn't thinking like this. I grew up really, really bad, honestly. But going through what I'm going through just made me a lot stronger in life, to whereas though I'm going to get through anything I have to get through. But real estate, I really like real estate because when I turned 18 years old, I got some case money from my grandmother. And with that case money, she made me purchase a house. She told me she had a house for $5,000. So that's what kind of opened my eyes up to real estate. I bought a house for $5,000. And then it took me about 4 years to get this property done. It was like 847 square foot. I didn't know what I was doing at all, but I got through the project. And then that house ended up being worth, like, I think about 7-8 years later, they gentrified the neighborhood, and that house was worth like $270,000. My first house. So so I purchased, like, in that neighborhood, I purchased about 7 or 8 of those houses like that, and that's how I got my start. But the houses I was buying was $5,000, $12,000, $7,000.
Hold on. So Anthony, let's start at the beginning. So first off, I guess before we can get into your story, the workout landlord.
Yes, workout landlord.
And where'd that come from?
I used to work out. I used to play basketball a whole lot back in the day, but I'm out of shape now. So none of that.
But you were pretty good in the streets of Philly.
I used to play basketball at a young age. I was working out. I was doing pretty good. My uncle, he was actually like one of the best basketball players in North Philly in Gratz High School. He played with like Rasheed Wallace and all them guys. And he taught me how to play basketball at a young age. So it was pretty good. So it was amazing. So I got my work ethic and my determination from him. And you know, every day in the summertime, we was waking up 6 a.m. getting 1,000 shots in at a young age, getting $1,500 shots in. So that's where I got the name workout from, because I would just be working out all day long.
Dude, you're an animal. So you were super competitive. It seems like drive has never been an issue for you.
No.
And then, you know, I know it's probably a little sensitive, but I guess you ran into some trouble along the way.
So that same uncle, he kind of gave me some good and he kind of gave me some bad. So he was basically, he was a drug dealer. He sold drugs and it was just bad. Like, he was like, we didn't have food some days. You'll go into my house. Like, we had one of the worst houses probably in the neighborhood, a bunch of roaches, everything. Something that you would see out of a movie, to be honest. That's how bad I was living at a young age. So my dad, on the other side of my family, my father, he was in the military. So I was like, the reason how I am today is because I had two sides. of my family. So my dad was actually like doing pretty good, even though they lived in the projects. They just lived, but they had a better way of life.
Yeah.
We always had food. My grandmom took care of me. Like, so, you know, on my uncle's side, they were doing kind of the bad things, selling drugs and being in the streets and, you know, just running wild, you know, just trying to survive. But on the other hand, my dad, you know, they taught me a lot of different things. But the balance was I got caught up by following my uncle. And it led me, you know, to go to jail at a young age.
Okay, so well, first off, this is crazy, and Joel, you definitely got a great speaker here for our podcast today.
Yeah.
So you grow up in a tough household with some good influence and some bad influence. There's no shortage of tenacity, though. I can tell already in your voice, probably at a young age.
Yeah.
You end up going to prison at a relatively young age. And then what I understand is in prison is when you started to read about real estate.
Yeah. So in prison, so I purchased when I purchased that one house from my grandma. When I purchased that one, it kind of opened my eyes up to just real estate. And something stayed in my mind. 90% of millionaires get rich through real estate. And it just stuck in my head to where though I just knew that I would be rich in real estate, even though I didn't know how to monopolize off of it or, you know, carry through it with it. But I just figured in my soul, it just burned through me that I'd be rich in real estate. So when I went to jail, I read Real Estate for Dummies. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read a lot of different books that changed my mindset on, you know, okay, you shouldn't be doing this type of stuff because it's not going to get you nowhere, no time soon. So that's when I came home from jail, you know, I stopped doing, you know, all that type of stuff. And I just focused strictly on real estate. I was going to live by or die by real estate. And that's what I did.
I need to catch my breath before even going further. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, Chad. When the first day that I met Anthony, we had a mutual friend's meetup, Derek Boone. And Derek had invited a local gentleman who most people in Philly know was going to run for mayor for the first time. And he had a long history of real estate ownership, operation. He was a pretty well-known landlord in Philadelphia in the greater area and city. And he built a really big portfolio. He had worked inside of the government for quite a long time. And he showed up at an environment and I don't know, it was one of those weird things where he started to talk to the audience and then he asked the audience for some input. And usually a lot of people will kind of be a little bit afraid to say something. They might not be as candid or open or honest. And Anthony just let it flow. He really stepped forward and challenged the guy because the guy did, you know, for lack of a better term, he did the typical white guy thing. We're going to go into a neighborhood that's challenged. We're going to spend money to fix a problem. That's sort of the mentality, unfortunately, that's out there. And The reality is that's not how it works. But no one really hangs around long enough to understand that, right? Yeah. You come and go for an election. They talk to the community once every 4 years. They never include the community. And nothing changes, unfortunately. And Anthony really stepped forward and said, listen, we're actually here. We're willing. We just want someone to ask us to help.
Yeah.
And want to be part of the solution. We're not here trying to fight with you. We're here trying to explain from our side what can help change things. And we just need someone, damn it, to listen. And I couldn't help myself. I kind of, you know, stepped forward. I had, a lot of people don't realize, Chad, I don't think you ever met Amadou, but I'm a guardian to a son. He's Black. And it was the first time in my life where I got, he lived with me for a few years during high school. And I got a little sense of what it's like to be a minority in America. Yeah. And I can tell you, we can all say whatever we want. And that's not to say white people are all bad or all good. That's not what I mean. But we have no real understanding of what it's like. I can assure you of that. As my kid pulled out of the driveway in my car, going 8 miles an hour, making a right turn, getting a speeding ticket. And then 90 seconds later, getting another ticket with a policeman calling me to tell me he thinks he stole my car. And that was only some of the story. So I had obviously never experienced that with my two white sons. No one would have ever pulled them over, right? They're in a normal car for the neighborhood. And because this kid's a Black kid pulling out of a white neighborhood in a whatever car, like all of a sudden it's a problem. I mean, it's ridiculous. So these are my first taste of what it's really like. And then it continued as we traveled around the country, as we went to different events and whatnot. And I wasn't his basketball coach. I was his dad, you know, and the interactions we got were honestly horrific. So I didn't really understand how ignorant most of America really still is. And it really just pissed me off. So for me, a lot of things changed. And I probably learned more from Amadou than Amadou did for me, you know, right or wrong. And it's helped me tremendously to open my mind. You know, I think for me, being part of that and then being there that day, it really got me riled up. And, you know, we just keep rolling with it because I really feel Philadelphia gets a shit reputation.
Yeah.
Anything you ever hear about is black on black crime. But I can't tell you how many times on a Saturday, a Sunday, during the week, at night, different times of day, we're in rooms together. There's 150 people. And the only thing there to do is to help each other and support each other and help each other grow personally, intellectually, financially, and help young people in the group, in the audience, in the room, lay that out for them so that they, like Anthony saying, when he's 18, he didn't have enough of that good influence maybe, but he's out there actively trying to lay that out for them. And quite a number of other people I've met from around the country in the same mode. And, you know, for me to be part of it, it's just, it's awesome. It's great.
So, I mean, it's super inspiring. And I want to get to the inspiring part here, Anthony. So how old were you? Once you, now you're out of jail, where are you? 21, 22, something like that?
I was like, I was 26.
Yep. Okay. And you take all that tenacity and you move it into real estate. What do you start doing? Do you start wholesaling properties?
No. So at that point I had a few properties because I was getting them started getting known around the neighborhood for purchasing houses. So I got, I don't know if you're familiar with Brewery Town. But when we, like, Brewery Town, Philadelphia, you know, those houses go for $400,000 now, $500,000 now.
Yeah.
So I was getting those houses for $12,000.
Jeez.
$8,000. Like, so, and these
how are you getting places. Just you were just going door to door?
Yeah, I was going from door to door, just giving my information out, telling them, you know, I'm interested in buying real estate, or, you know, just sending mail, or people just getting in contact with me. Anthony, yeah, he's the guy to see to go, because I started being a general contractor because I had to make some money from day to day because I wasn't in their life no more. So I had to make money. So I was renting my houses out. I was fixing them up by myself. It was probably me and two other guys that didn't really know anything, but they was following after me. So we was kind of just making it happen. And it just led me throughout the years to just get better and better at my craft. So the more I studied, the more I trial and error, I learned, you know, how to, you know, make sure I get title insurance no matter what. Make sure I do a lot of things, because one of those houses I bought in Brewery Town had a $200,000 mortgage attached to it. So now I just had to keep that. And that learned me to never buy a house without, you know, title insurance, stuff like that.
So it had a lien that you didn't know about. You didn't get title. And then it came up, and now you bought the house, and now you bought the mortgage too.
Bought the mortgage as well, yep. And then now, but I still had a house to this day. It's rented out. You know, it's nothing I can really do with it. I still have. It's nothing I can do with it. I just make it. You know, I just make money off of it monthly. But I just learned.
Probably worth $350 now, so you're okay.
Yeah, I mean it's okay, but I like to keep more houses that's free and clear as possible now. But I learned a whole lot throughout the year. So I'm like, it's 10 years later, and I just kept on going and going and going. But I bought my first house when I was, you know, I was 18. So I've been in real estate for, you know, for a long time.
First, a word about our sponsors.
Hey guys, this is Chad Gallagher, your co-host here. And when you are in market for your next loan, highly recommend Burr Loans. I actually used them on one of my latest loans. It was actually an interest-only product, which I really love. Because if interest rates go down in the future, you can refinance the product. This is a great team. Joel and guys really know their stuff. They understand investing and have some awesome products for investors of all types. Check them out. Burr Loans. Whew. It sounds like you didn't really ever have any like training in this. You basically just kind of taught yourself. Learned the hard way.
So I'm self-taught. two, and then I had got a mentor. I got one mentor. He taught me about credit, like because I went to this bank. I came when I came home from jail. I was studying all these books and reading them, and I thought, you know, get me a suit. I was going to be a real estate hacker. Let me get me a suit on. Let me go to the bank and let me get some money because all these properties I have are worth millions of dollars now. So what I did, I went to the bank and they told me, listen, Anthony, your credit score is a 480. You know, you need a 680 credit score. You need tax returns. You need pay stubs. You need all this different stuff that I don't have. So that's what made me, you know, work for about 2 years, you know, to get, you know, all those things that I needed, but I wasn't going back to doing what I was doing. So that's when I got my general contracting license. I got a few other things, but I came back after those 2 years and then I got my first HELOC loan off of those properties. And that's how I got my real, real big start.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. What, this is going to be a weird question, but I hope it's okay to ask this. Do you feel like, look, in your past, you know, you did some things that weren't 100% in the up and up, but I wonder if you learned some things from kind of that. I'm sure you had to have good people skills, good sense of who to trust.
Yeah.
I'm sure your community building was pretty strong. I wonder if actually some of that transferred into what you've actually been able to do here.
I would say 100%. 100% it transferred because I was in business before I got into real estate. It just was a different type. It was just a different type of business I was into.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having the ethic, you know, I'm not doing no bad now. It's all good. But at the same time, I know how to sell people. You know, I learned at a young age, you know, how to do all that type of stuff. So I would say it transferred completely into real estate. And then it made me never to give up. I'm going to keep going no matter what. I'm going to find out whatever information I need. I'm going to go out there and get it. But now, like me just learning right now where I'm at right now, just getting a blueprint to the real estate game, learning from different people, that's what kind of excelled me to get as large as I am now.
So, Chad, what you might not be familiar with, but Anthony recently held a very large organized event under the umbrella of the American Entrepreneur, which, you know, is kind of a traveling roadshow where a lot of experts from around the country, from the community, sort of come together. I don't know, how many people would you say have 750?
Yeah, about 750. Yeah, about that, close to that.
Something close to that in Philadelphia. Ooh. At the Met. And each person rotated through probably 30 to 45 minutes really discussing and talking to the audience about their strengths. And it was a great opportunity for people to learn and bring it together. And one of the things Anthony did was he had some of his mentees who were usually 18 to 21, 22 years old. They were all there soaking it in. And they were in a really positive environment. And then some of the other guys who are real players that are in their late 20s now, mid late 20s, they're all sort of supportive of the whole operation. They're all friends. And, you know, you just see something so different happening. And then you get sponsorships by the Chases of the world and First Trust banks. And, you know, you get positive media coverage. And before you know it, I mean, you see where we started, you see where he was and where he is. It's really just a fantastic story. And it's real, though. And it brings that to the people. You're talking about what kind of skills translate. Well, truthfully, all the street skills translate, right? You learn and understand how to deal with people. You learn and understand how to weed out the bad people quickly, right? You don't put up for any nonsense. And you need to be able to do that with your contractors and people that work for you on your staffs. You need to be able to understand that and move through that quickly to save money, because time is money, right? Ha ha, but it's real. And, you know, one of the things that Anthony, we were together on a site last, I think on Father's Day, right? In the morning.
Yeah, Father's Day. He was there.
And he just told me he had to let go two or three people during the week. And he was just right on top of it. And, you know, he said it matter of factly, like, look, it's business and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody or bad, but it's my business and it's my reputation. And if they're not going to help me with it, then I can't have them here as part of the team. Exactly. You know, we're doing something different. We're building an organization. You can see with the office and workout landlord brand. And, you know, it's pretty big at this point. I can tell you from working around, you know, the mid-Atlantic states, people know him down to Florida, out to Chicago and Texas, et cetera. And, you know, he's really built quite a rep for himself. And It's really all founded in the work. Not only is he not embarrassed about the story, he can really turn it into a positive for a lot of young people so they can really understand that it's real. You know,
Anthony, what's that feel like to be able to mentor someone who's 16, 17, 18 years old? And you know, because you used to be in those shoes, that they are at that point deciding between which way to take their life. That must feel amazing to be like this beacon to maybe help these people out.
I think that's why I stand out from a lot of people, because I know where they're at, to where as though I can come in there and I know they want to go to the streets because that's all they see, like rap videos. That's what's glorified, you know, being a rapper, being a drug dealer, being all these different type of people. But I'm trying to glorify being a real estate agent or, you know, selling properties in the same light. So they more so going to understand it from me a little bit better because they know I have been through it. That's why I always give my story first. And then I let you see exactly what I had. So if you look right here, my office is downtown Philadelphia. And on Jurlis Row, this is like one of the most prominent places in Philadelphia that you can ever come to. So we have this, and we own a jewelry store as well, right down the street. So when the younger kids look up to me, they see like a person that really made it out of the ghetto, that can really teach them, that's, you know, not coming from a standpoint from another person that never has been there. So that's why, you know, my community is, you know, much larger than another person's.
Anthony, how many properties do you own now? I mean, it sounds like you have a decent amount.
Right now, we probably like 23 properties.
That's
awesome. Not that much. It's not that much, but we got a lot of doors. So I have a lot of different businesses inside of my business. So we do general contracting, we do credit repair, we do mentorship, and then we just do Airbnb short-term rentals. We have a lot of different, about five businesses in one.
Great, man. And I love people in real estate who have a service business in the real estate world that complements their investing. I'm kind of obsessed with this idea. And I think you personify it where you invest, but you've learned so much that you're able to now do other things. It sounds like you're five different things you're doing. So it's not like you're a busy guy, but it's building up equity. You know, everyone talks about Rich Dad, Poor Dad and how it changes their life. And it's interesting when you read that book, what most people don't talk about is it's not just about becoming an investor. It's also the business owner quadrant. That's the other piece of it. And so, you know, you're really personifying that book and everything that it speaks to, which is moving away from being an employee or self-employed and moving towards not just owning real estate equity through investing, but also through owning your own businesses, which it sounds like you're cranking on.
Yeah. I think really what I teach my everybody, like my mentees, like is a long-term business with real estate. A lot of people is like, so, like in the world we in, they're like, everybody wants the fast, you know, right now money, you know. I teach them that, you know, it's going to be all about the long-term play because me, for instance, like when I purchased my first house for $5,000, they didn't gentrify the neighborhood to about 10 years later. You know, 10 years later, of course, I 10x the money, but I didn't know it was going to be like that. So I always teach them to invest right now. And then at the same time, you want to get everyday cash flow coming in, no matter what, you know, monthly cash flow, get more doors.
Anthony, one thing we do here, we like when people give us a story of when they've burred a property. Yeah. Maybe give us a good burr story of something something tells me you've got a couple of good stories in your hopper there.
Okay. I mean, so I would say one good burr story that I have is the one, I guess I'm actually 2713 West Glenwood Street. This one is in Philadelphia. So this is a triplex that we purchased, I think about in 2009. We purchased that one for $2,000. For $2,000, yes.
Go ahead. 2009. So yeah. 14 years ago, you bought it for $2,000.
Yeah, $2,000. Yeah, yeah.
Now, what neighborhood is this in Philly? It's now a good neighborhood, right?
Yeah, Brewery Town. Yeah, yeah. It was
okay.
Yeah,
Brewery Town. So it's in Brewery Town. What have we been talking about? So now a highly gentrified area.
Highly gentrified area.
You bought it for $2,000. Now, when you bought it for $2,000, something tells me I probably would not have felt comfortable walking down that street when you bought it.
You actually would have. Like, it wasn't a bad neighborhood like that.
I think it was a challenged area. I don't think it was that kind of area where you felt like you were in such a difficult urban area that you felt uncomfortable, Chad.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was a beaten down, trodden area, just where houses were kind of solid but old. And
why'd you get it for $2,000? What was it? Was the house falling apart or what was going on?
So it was just a shell. It was a shell that nobody wanted. And they just wanted to get some money. It was like somebody just called. They just called me and they had two of them. So actually, no, that's 2715. So it was 2715 and 2713. So 2715, I got that one for $2,000, and then the neighbor sold me the other one for $12,000. So,
12? You paid too much. Well, come on.
Yeah.
Anthony.
They charged me extra $10,000. They said,
okay. Yeah, so you got this shell, that definitely needed some work. Now. Yeah. What did you do? Did you get like a hard money loan or where'd you get the money to fix it up?
No, so I had a few dollars left from my grandma. So when I turned 18, I had I had a CD. So whereas though I couldn't get it for like a couple years down the line. So I had about maybe like 30,000. I took like 25,000 because you got to think back then, wood was like $2. Sheetrock was like $5. The price of the material wasn't that high, and my labor wasn't that high. So I paid about $35,000 to rehab this property. So this was about, about maybe 9 years ago I did this. So I put about $35,000 into it. I paid $2,000 for it. So we end up refinancing this property for $220,000, about $220,000. So I took, what's the math on that? I don't know if I got the math right here. So, but all in, I walked away with like $147,000. I still got my HUD docs and all that type of stuff. So I got $147,000. So I made a quick $100,000. And then that gave me a time, that let me invest into other properties as well. It was easy. So now, right now, I can refi it again. It's worth about $560,000. But I'm gonna sit on the equity there. You gotta think, I only paid $2,000 for it, so I don't know if anybody did that before. Like,
right.
So you bought a house in Brewery Town for $2,000. You put in, let's just say, 40. So now you're all in it for about 40K.
Yeah.
And you rented it out. What did it rent for? Any idea?
I rented that for back in the day. I think it was like $1,100, $900. Like total, it was like $3,000 monthly. Like $3,000 monthly.
Oh, it's a couple of units.
It's a couple of units. It's three units. I was doing a lot of this work on my own. Me and my girlfriend, we was doing the floor, doing all the tile work. We was boots on the ground. We was doing all this stuff. I had an electrician. I had a guy help me with the sheetrock. And that was pretty much it.
How'd you know how to put flooring in?
I mean, I was YouTubing, and I had this one guy, like this, he changed my life. He was like a guy, he was on drugs. I'm just being honest with you. He was on drugs, but he was just teaching me everything. Like, all right, this is what you do here. He died right now, but he taught me everything there was to know about general contracting. He just had like, it was something wrong with him, but he taught me everything, how to do flooring, how to do sheetrock, how to do plumbing. He taught me how to do all that type of stuff. And he was helping me, I was helping him. And we was getting the job done.
Anthony, one thing that really strikes me about you is like, you've had some interesting mentors in your life that have some good and some bad to them. Yeah. And it's interesting, one big takeaway is it seems like you've been able to take some of these really good lessons from people, apply it to your business, and kind of ignore some of the shadier stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and for better or worse, that is kind of how life is, right? That there's a lot of mentors out there that have some really great advice, can really help you move you along. but you may not want to follow them in every step they go down.
Yeah.
And kind of, you got to chart out your own course too, of your own morals and your own, how you want to live life. But take a little bit from here and a little bit from here and a little bit from here. I find that to be really interesting about you.
I think you got, like, I was dealt a deck of cards and I just had to play it out. I had to play it out. And like, for me, I always look at the glass half full and half empty, no matter what situation I'm in. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm always looking at the half full and half empty. So I learned from this. I learned from a lot of different people. But this one, that one selective person, he taught me a whole lot. He didn't teach me everything, but it opened my eyes up to go and seek that energy and information from other people who was highly qualified.
You know, exactly. By the way, I think your kids are going to be animals someday.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Walking the job, I'm afraid of Ethan.
Yeah, I think my sons, they're going to definitely grow up. You know, they love real estate. They see me doing it. Even my daughter, like, they love it. Like, we got, a swimming pool. I just see, like, so much stuff. You know, I'm happy to did what I did, focus, like, how I'm focused to be able to have these things to show to my kids, that they would never have. They're in the number one schools in New Jersey. I'm really happy that I did what I did, but I still want more. I'm hungry. Yeah. I gotta eat.
Yeah, I know you're not done for a while.
No.
I love it's interesting. So, Joel, you mentioned like very low leverage. It kind of makes sense, right? I mean, he had low credit. Sure, no one taught him how to get loans and how to build your credit and all that stuff. And rather than complaining, which I hear so many investors, all they want to do is complain. Oh, interest rates are so high. And banks won't lend me money and this BS and that BS. And I haven't heard you say one negative thing this whole time. Instead, all I hear is, I'm going to freaking figure this out. And, part of figuring out was you didn't understand that necessarily have access to credit and to money. So you didn't go that road. You just fixed it up yourself. You learned how to YouTube and fix floors. And now you're low leverage. Now your next step is probably going to be to actually start leveraging money to build even more.
I leverage now. I do leverage now. So I took a course for $10,000. That course changed everything, because now I start figuring out how to leverage business credit, how to leverage OPM, other people's money. So now I know how to basically get houses off business credit and then leverage those to refinance them, and then now we're going to rent those properties out. So I know how to do that as well. That's another umbrella that I have under, exactly what I do now. But me personally, I just focus on commercial properties now. So the residential properties, those are for my mentees. For me, I need 7, 8 to 10 units, commercial spaces as well. So that's the only thing I focus on. Because you got to think about it. So my business, let me tell you like a real intricate way about my business. So I have a wholesaling business as well. So if I get a house for 40 or 50,000, I'll sell it to one of my mentees for about 60,000. So I make 10,000 off of that. I'm gonna make sure I get you the funding to actually get that deal. Once you get that deal, I charge you for that as well. Then I have a construction business that's gonna actually fix the properties up. And then after that, I'm gonna go to Joel and then he's gonna refinance them for us. So I have a foolproof plan on how we actually going to get the money, build our communities up, and as well, leverage some houses so I can get to my mentees.
Dude, it's awesome. Joe, give this guy some money. Come on. Hard loans. Come on. Help the guy out.
Look, we've been very fortunate, all kidding aside. Obviously, we won't use any names, but we've had the opportunity to work for and help a couple of the mentees refinance. And I got to tell you, when you go through the process with them and they're going through their first time, they're so excited, but they're also not afraid to admit that they're learning and they ask questions, which is good, only helps them for the future. And they basically just man is the man. I mean, he's helped them get from a place they never could have even imagined to actually owning investment real estate that for them, truthfully, they either saw on television or in a movie or a book. They never really thought it could be them. And now it's real. And some of those guys, I tell you, you look out in 3 years, those guys are not spending 1 second crying about interest rates.
Yeah. They're
not worried about what you can't do. They're not worried about what piece of supply in the supply chain Home Depot doesn't have today. We'll figure out something else to use.
Yeah. Dude. That's awesome, man. What a killer story. Look, I know you got to go. I heard your daughter wants to play soccer with you. And the last thing I wanted to do is stop you from that.
All right.
Look, I just say thanks, truly.
What city are you from, Chad?
So I'm from Lancaster. It's boring. I don't have any stories nearly as exciting as you. And I feel like a rookie talking to you. I still rent off of Zillow. I find tenants off Zillow.
Chad. No, Chad.
Yeah, we're out of Lancaster. We've managed a bunch of properties over the years and built up a management company, and we invest too. Okay. And we do have a couple of short-term rentals, but nothing remotely as inspirational as you have brought to the table today. Okay. And man, I'm super pumped for the audience to hear your story. I know they're going to love it. If people want to reach out to you, which I'm sure they will, are you like an Instagram guy, or what's your kind of?
Workout underscore landlord. That's my Instagram.
All right. Well, dude, Anthony, thanks for joining.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Real Estate Hackers Show. If you've not yet become a member of Real Estate Hackers, you can do that for free at realestatehackers.com. Get access to all of the amazing real estate hacker deals from incredible vendors, a ton of content and materials for you, the investor. You can follow Real Estate Hackers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you can give us a 5-star review for the podcast, I would personally really appreciate it. We read every review, and thank you so much for helping us grow this community for you, the real estate investor.